Hey, nonprofits, let's raise more money. For this episode, Jason and Trevor discuss the importance of getting the right people at your fundraising event versus the amount of people you have in the room. Let's get right into it.
Trevor and I were just sitting here talking about an event that one of our associates just did. And tell us about what they did, Trevor.
Shout out, Mr. West, and thanks so much for sharing the data with us. It was silent auction only, very, very small event. Sold two Tuscany trips and two Caribbean trips in the silent auction alone. So that also means that the backup bidders, you know, there were backup bidders for each item that bought a package as well. So they sold multiples in the silent auction, which is awesome. And the most important thing that we saw, there were only 56 people in the room. So we went.
Point out this point. These were just packages that they consigned from us. That's not including anything else, other money that they raised, and they sold a bunch of stuff. The point is, and why I think this is so important for you to understand, you guys that are listening to this, getting the right people in the room is paramount. Far more important than the amount of people you have in the room.
Correct.
And I think one mistake that a lot of nonprofits make is they get caught up and we got 600 people, we sold 600 tickets or whatever it is.
Right.
But if your ticket's $50 and you only got people that could afford $50 tickets, you're not going to raise very much money. But let's just suggest that you get 56 people, the right people in the room
that are down for the cause,
that understand what you're doing, that have the capacity to give.
Yep.
You can raise a significant amount of money. You know, I did a little event. This has been a few years ago. And I helped a friend of mine do an event. He called me. He goes, hey, we've got this special deal. And this is just right on the same thing. They had 50 people. Mm-hmm. It was limited to 50, maybe 40. It may have just been 40. I can't remember exactly, but it wasn't very many. Okay. And here's what we did. It was a whiskey tasting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I remember this.
All they did was you got to try some, you know, hot, what you call premium bourbon, and then some really primo stuff, you know, some premium tequila, and then some really good tequila.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah. So just, we did that with several things. All the people, they had a tiny little taste. And then when it was over, we auctioned off the bottles, what was left.
Cool. Oh, that's great.
We sold a half used bottle of Remy Martin, black. So it's very, very high end. You know, it's $5,000 a bottle.
Oh, wow.
It brings $9,000.
Wow. That's awesome.
The point is, we had the right people in the room.
Yep.
They cared about the cause and they cared about the cause more than they cared about the money. Yep. I mean, they're buying half used bottles of booze.
I love it, man.
And you know, we raised $45,000 with 40 people selling booze. And that's not including what they paid to get there, because I believe it was $1,000 a couple to come.
Oh,
so
wow.
Before they ever did that, it was a high end ticket.
Well, they were very intentional, it sounds like.
Well, it was exclusive. So the exclusivity drove the people wanting to participate because you know, everybody knows the more high end, the more exclusive it is, who do you draw into it? People that can afford it, because there's not very many people that can afford that.
Yep.
So, and I'm not suggesting you've got to say, well, it's $1,000 to get in. But you might want to think about your table prices, your ticket prices, the way that you're doing it.
Because, who you're asking, who you're networking with to find out who's coming. Yeah,
you want to get people that, you know, I had, there was an event, same thing, smaller deal, very specific. And it does fine. I'm not suggesting it doesn't. But they only charge like $200 a table. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if you want to raise more money, raise your table prices. Well, you know, I don't want anybody not to be able to come. But I said, you want people to have money to come, don't you? And he goes, well, I hadn't thought about it like that. And I'm like, you know, it's the people that you have in the room. If they have capacity to give, they're going to give.
I'm going to say it's not a party, but at the same time, we say, yes, the entertainment should be fun. It should be a celebration. It should have a party element, a joyous occasion.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I've heard you say this 100 times. I've heard you say it once. You're there to raise money.
And if you've got a bunch of people that showed up that may love your cause, they are down for it. Okay. Mm-hmm. They really believe in what you do. They support you. They do all that, but they can't write a check for $10,000. They're not going to write a check for $10,000.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised when you don't get that. And the point comes, 56 people in the room. Okay. And just remember, take 56 people, divide that in half. That's about how many checkbooks.
Those are the buying units.
So yeah. About 26 checkbooks bought, I don't know, I think they raised about $60,000, $70,000.
Data from Mark West says that the last champion raised $5,000.
$5,000 for a $400 pistol.
In the same room.
Yeah.
For a collectible. How cool is that? How cool is that, man? Yeah.
So
that's good stuff.
I really just can't reiterate, you know, get the right people in the room. And if you don't know how to do that,
we'll make ourselves available. If you have any questions, Jason's lovely at coaching people up and nudging and encouraging people to ask for more in a very deliberate way and in a way that works. So reach out to him, Jason at HJFundraising.com. If you want to talk to me first and have me make the introduction to make it more formal, you can reach out to me, Trevor at HJFundraising.com.
But you know, we're going to help you get there. But the thing about it is, you can build the best event, have all the best stuff, have all these great ideas, all these fundraising. But if you don't have people that have capacity to give, they're not going to give. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be an equal opportunity receiver and that everybody else, because we need the people at $50, at $500, at $5,000.
We need people to buy. Exactly.
But the point is the people that have capacity. And a lot of times what we think, they won't buy any more. Well, you know, and here's a great example. Very small event, very small event. Okay. I asked the executive director, I said, who's your biggest fan? When I said, who's your biggest fan? She goes, I don't understand. I said, who's your biggest fan in the room? Who's giving you the most money? That would be Miss Johnston. Why? I said, cause I'm going to ask her for some more money. Oh, well, you know, Jason, I don't know. She just got through. They just got back last week. They had a wedding there. One of their daughters got married in Belize.
Yeah.
Okay. I said, now I'm going to ask her for more then.
So she's feeling great. About life.
Well, but the thing was, but what happened was she was thinking about spending money with her money. If she had just, you know, had her kid get married in Belize, she wouldn't be able to afford it.
Sure.
Well, people don't marry their kids in Belize if they don't have capacity to give. I went and talked to her and I said, would you be willing to make a gift that we could get things started with in the fund of need? And she said, sure.
Yeah.
She wound up giving $6,000 and bid on everything.
Love it, because
she loved the cause and she cared about it. So, you know, she cared about the cause much more than the money that she had.
We've said this dozens of times recently as well. There are people that will actually feel ostracized and offended that you didn't ask them.
Oh my gosh.
Be aware. Be aware of that. Yeah. You know, some people will say, and Jason's been in this situation so many times, being in the room so many times, I would have given more if you asked. Why didn't you ask me?
I had a guy give $25,000 and he told the executive director, well, if Jason would have asked me for more, I'd have given more. Right. And the whole thing about getting the right people in the room and people that care about, and then being willing to ask them, they know that they're there to give money. They know that.
Yeah.
Now, they may not. Okay. I'm not suggesting that everybody will, but I can tell you the attitude with people that can write a check for $10,000 and not miss it. Notice what I said, $10,000 and not miss it. It's not going to change their life at all. So people with significant capacity, you need to start working those people, making your relationships to get them into the fold if you don't already have them. If you do, you need to be making phone calls, letting them participate, talk to them about what it is that they want to see there.
Yep.
Because they're going to give you a lot of great feedback. Because people that have a lot of money, they typically were smart about how they got it, they're smart about how they keep it, and they're smart about how they give it away.
Say that again?
People that have money
mm-hmm.
are typically, they're smart about how they got it. They're smart about how they keep it, hold on to it, manage it. And they're smart about how they give it away.
Hope everyone heard that. Really good.
Right people really in the room. Good. Cannot substitute right people in the room for raising money.
Ah, so good, dude. That was gold. Love that.
It was a good conversation. I'm glad Mark brought it up to us because it was just hit
joke.
The point.
Yeah. Well, and Mark, thanks a ton, brother. We wanted to have you on today, but we'll have you on soon. With that, we wouldn't have had it without you, brother. So thanks so much. But we've been saying this, we've been preaching this for a while about being deliberate, being intentional with the people that you invite, with the people that are coming into the room, going to be in the room, and the people that are going to be giving. And Jason also alluded to relationships and getting on the phone, managing these relationships, making it your business. Your business is to manage these relationships and make sure these relationships are strong and not reach out to these people once a year in a letter or an email. Reach out to these people as much as possible because that's what happens. That's how strong relationships grow.
And let me be clear. What Trevor's saying, he doesn't mean hit him with a blanket mass email that's what you're sending to him. That doesn't count.
No.
That's just informational you should be doing anyway. He's talking about when you pick up the phone, shoot a text, and it says, yep. Hey, Trevor, just want to let you know we really appreciate all you've done for our organization.
Come on.
Picking up the phone and saying, hey, Trev, hey, I wanted to talk to you about an upcoming event just to see if you had a few minutes.
Yep. This is what we're doing.
Creating these relationships.
Yep.
And I
promise
them
what you're
you,
doing. Yep.
I hear this from a lot of folks. Well, how do we get those people?
They're there.
First of all, you've got to go through your phone. You've got to get your staff to do it. You've got to get your donors to do it. The people you already have, your board to do it, to go through their phone. Everybody that you do business with, go through there and start looking at who all you know. Write every name down that you think that might could help you, because that person may not be able to write a check for $10,000, not miss it, but they might know 25 that do.
100%.
And so it's not what you know, it's who you know. And relationships are everything. Ooh.
My great grandmother said, it's so funny. I don't know if she thought that she was creating a relationship builder at the time, but she said, she always told me I was limitless. She said, you can do anything. That was very, very grateful. Rita Nelson, my great grandmother. And she said, it's not what you know, it's who you know and how well you know them.
That's exactly right. And a lot of people take that as a negative connotation.
No.
Oh, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
No,
it is absolutely about
no one's on an island.
That's right. We all interact with each other, and it's not about you, it's about who you relate with.
Make it an effort in your life. I did this. I can only speak from my personal experience. I made it it was like a New Year's resolution, almost, you could call it. I am going to make the relationships in my life as strong as possible. I am going to be the best friend that I can possibly be. I'm going to be the best father, the best husband. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. That doesn't mean I've succeeded. It's still a work in progress.
No, but the effort's noticed, because I know just from my, you know, we interact with each other every day, and it's always, you know, I just always look forward to it, because I know that you're going to, you know, you're really digging in.
It's exactly what we do.
Not holding back.
Yeah. It's exactly what we do in business too, brother. And they could blend.
Well, and you've got to do the same thing, you know, and these relationships we're talking about, there's a difference. You know, Trevor talks about relationships. He used that in a blanket form, but obviously there's work relationships and there's personal relationships.
Yes.
But if you're making your personal relationships better, you're also going to make your work relationships better.
And you're going to learn how.
The deal.
Yeah.
And you know, the number one thing that you've got to do as a fundraising professional, the number one thing, if you're a board member, volunteer, donor, whatever, listening to this, great. The number one thing that you have to do, though, is build relationships with your donors.
Yep.
That's it. That's your number one priority. If that's not your number one priority, and that should be everybody across the board, that should be the number one priority that everybody walks out there and says, what's our number one deal? Build relationships with donors.
Love that. I love that, man.
Because if you're not building those relationships, because all boats rise when that happens.
You're not wrong.
You're able to fund your mission. You're able to do a better job with your clients. You're able to, you know, send more kids to camp if that's what you're doing. Your volunteer base will increase. Mm-hmm. You know,
people
all
will
those things.
You're going to be winning, and people will want to be associated with it.
They do.
That's the truth.
They do.
It's the way the universe works, brother. Whatever you believe in, karmic fruitfulness or not, people will respond to that, and they will see it, because you will be glowing. You will be glowing, and people will want to be a part of it, man. That's just
without
the truth,
a doubt,
brother. It's the truth. That's so good.
Hey,
man.
If you guys got anything out of this, please do us a favor. Share this with another nonprofit professional. You know, I don't know if not a lot of them, you know, I say a lot of them, they may not know about this podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, nonprofits, obviously you found it. Share it with somebody, because we just want to get the word out. And if we can ever help you, hit us up.
Talk to you soon, brother. That was fantastic.
See you, man.
Thank you, man.
Adios.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. If you love our podcast, click the download button, rate us, and follow us on social media at HGA Fundraising. Get out there, start fundraising, and raise more money. See you next time.